House Committee on Judiciary, Subcommittee on Civil Law and Judicial Administration, Thursday, April 4, 1991, 1 p.m., Hearing Room 357, Public Hearing and Possible Work Session.
Committee on Judiciary, Subcommittee on Civil Law and Judicial Administration. I'd like to open up a public hearing and possible work session on House Bill 2828. Learned Counsel, would you mind introducing the committee to this bill?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2828 is sponsored by Representative Minnis. It requires parties to lawsuits who want police officers to testify as expert witnesses to pay for those services. In the materials in front of you, you have a copy of the current rule of civil procedure on subpoenas in civil cases, and I call your attention to subsection D2, which involves service on law enforcement agencies. You have a copy of the provisions from the Oregon Evidence Code on expert testimony, and you also have a copy of the current statute on witness fees generally. Also in your materials are some proposed amendments that I have prepared. The bill, as it's originally drafted, requires depositing funds with the clerk of the court and then having the court issuing the subpoena to the police officer witness. Ordinarily, under normal civil practice, the attorney sends out the subpoena and the check, thereby preserving trial by ambush. And my concern was that if you notified the court and paid in the money, the other side would find out your expert police officer was coming to testify. So I've drafted amendments that circumvent the court and just have the check go directly with the subpoena to the police officer. My understanding also is that Representative Minnis has some amendments that have been proposed along similar lines by the State Court Administrator's Office. We do not yet have a fiscal impact statement on this bill.
Oh, Representative Minnis. Nice to have you up from the dungeons.
Honorable Chairperson.
Members of the committee.
No, Representative Minnis is up here.
No, we've sent out an APB for him, but they haven't been able to find him yet.
Find who?
You.
Find who?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, House Bill 2828 is my feeble attempt to do something favorable for cities with respect to the impact of Measure 5. You may recall, and some of the members of the committee may recall, a similar issue which was before the civil sub last session, wherein the legislature saw fit to do exactly this same thing for the Department of State Police, because the Department of State Police had been experiencing some fairly significant costs relevant to the time that officers spend in court that they were having to pay out of their own budget. And what House Bill 2828 is intended to do is to help cities and counties recover more of the costs, which hopefully are more closely associated to the cost that the cities or counties actually incur by having the officers appear as expert witnesses in various civil trials. And many of you who are attorneys understand that when you do subpoena a police officer, oftentimes you may submit $10 or whatever the required filing fee is or fee that's necessary. And as I understand it now, that's the only part of the cost of the officer's appearance in court that is actually recovered by the city at this time, since those checks from private attorneys are deposited into the city's general account. With respect to the amendments by, and I'm having a heck of a time remembering how to pronounce Greg's last name, but by
Mr. Chimov,
I did learned counsel. That'll do. I have absolutely no objection to the amendments. I think they go more to the point in terms of the process and how it could be expedited. They're also consistent with some amendments that Mr. Linden, Chief Clerk Administrator, suggested to me yesterday, with respect to where the payments would go. His suggestion would be that they would go directly to the law enforcement agency. That's consistent with counsel's amendments, and on that I would urge support of the bill and answer or attempt to answer any questions.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Edmondson.
Representative Minnis, I appreciate you. You're concerned about ballot measure 5, and I just wonder if you'd have any, what your reaction would be if we put a 1.5% limitation on the fees that attorney police officers could charge as expert witnesses.
Well, Mr. Chairman and Representative Edmondson,
$15 per thousand or something.
I think that that's an issue you may want to consider as you do your deliberations on the bill. However, you may want to be aware that you're running headlong into some collective bargaining agreements that exist between law enforcement agencies and those cities and counties that they serve.
I see. Now, would this have a serious question? Would this have any impact on a fiscal impact to the state if it were to ask for police officers to be expert witnesses? For example, in civil matters or in any other matters?
Yet, Mr. Chairman, Representative Edmondson, you have a good point. It may very well, in the question I would have to ask of Mr. Linden would be to what degree the state calls a police officer as an expert witness on behalf of the state. I think it's envisioned in the bill. And let me give you the scenario, which you're probably familiar with, but oftentimes a police officer will do a preliminary state accident report that they file with the Department of Motor Vehicles as an investigation of a traffic accident. And it may be a mere fender bender. It may be an injury accident. It could be a serious injury accident. It could be a fatal accident. And depending, of course, on the settlements and where the various individuals who become the claimants in that process of settling the civil cost of that thing go, police officers are routinely subpoenaed into court as witnesses to discuss and give opinions regarding the cause of the accident. That is probably the greatest area where police officers are called into court. The other might be a civil trial that arises out of some other hit-and-run accident, which is a hit-and-run investigation, or in a theft case that's been civilly compromised and subsequently went to the courts or whatnot.
Now, if I may follow up, I see that this deals with where police officers are called as expert witnesses, and, of course, many times a police officer is not called as an expert but as a witness. As an eyewitness or as a witness to statements made, that sort of thing. You're making that distinction in this bill, I understand.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Edmondson, that is a question that I raised to committee counsel on the floor this afternoon as I looked at the bill, because that problem that you raise exists in the bill. I don't know whether the police officer, who's merely the traffic investigator, summoned to a civil trial in and of themselves is an expert for the purposes of that classification. I don't think so, because most of the time you'd have to be an engineer with a certain set of credentials in accident reconstruction, or perhaps a psychologist or medical doctor who has that expert category. And the bill, as I envisioned it, was not intended to just limit it to that small category. I had intended to have it more inclusive where officers are subpoenaed into civil trials as witnesses.
So your intent was to cover all police officers at any time that they're subpoenaed to appear in whatever capacity, as opposed to just when they are responding to hypotheticals and advancing expert opinions.
That's correct, in a civil setting. And again, following the direction that we went last session with the Oregon State Police. In fact, I don't know if the Oregon State Police are going to discuss the issue, but what my early contacts with the state police and discussions about advancing this bill indicated that the number of times the state police officers were subpoenaed into these trials had been reduced by the fact that the attorneys were now having to pay the fees reimbursing the state for those costs. It did a couple of things. It freed up officers' time because they were no longer taken off of the street during times when they would be sitting on a bench in a courtroom. And second, it reduced overtime costs to the state police, so it was a savings with respect to the amount of service they could provide on the street, and then also budgetary savings in expense.
Those are expert witnesses.
I'm like somebody doing calisthenics.
Well, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Menace.
I'll be glad to answer any more questions. I understand that there may be some other witnesses. I think Mr. Williamson is here to testify. I'm not sure for or against, but in any event, he's here, and I believe the city of Portland wanted the opportunity to testify on the bill also. And I have to go down and start my own committee down in Ways and Means. If there's a need for me to come back and respond to any other questions, I'd be glad to do that.
Larry Kalsa has a question.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Menace, do you have a copy of the amendments that Mr. Linden gave you?
I do, and I'd be glad to leave them here.
Okay, thank you.
If you'd like.
Well, Representative Menace, your excuse, go forth and do good things. Don't forget to keep your mind open tomorrow, too. Moving right along. Let's have Paul Snyder, Charlie Williamson, and the City of Portland. I don't know if we've identified who that witness is. Someone here on behalf of the City of Portland?
Anybody here from Portland?
Anybody here from Portland that wants to come up?
I'm talking about forfeiture.
We're here from Eugene. Okay, moving right along. Mr. Snyder, why don't you follow off? And I realize that you both marked boxes at a different side, but I thought we'd have you both up here so we could have rebuttal and surrebuttal.
That'd be fine, Mr. Chair. For the record, I'm Paul Snyder, representing Association of Oregon Counties, appearing this afternoon in support of House Bill 2828. I think Representative Menace pretty much described the circumstances that this bill addresses from the standpoint of public bodies and why we think it would be a good idea. I don't think I can embellish on that very much, except to just perhaps respond to Representative Edmondson's question about the effect of subpoenas by public bodies. My reading of Section 9 leads me to believe that if the state as a party called a city police officer as a witness, it wouldn't have a fiscal impact because the exception applies, the way I read it, to any public body, not just the public body that the police officer works for.
Mr. Snyder, since Representative Edmondson is listening so intently, why don't you go ahead and tell what part of the bill that is?
We're practicing ventriloquism.
Ventriloquism, okay.
Mr. Chair, it's Section 9. My recollection is that Representative Edmondson asks, would this bill have a fiscal impact on the state if the state called a city or a county police officer as a witness? And the way I read Section 9 is that the answer would be no.
Thank you. Yes. Okay. Go ahead. You're not done. Are you done? You think it's...
I'm done, Mr. Chair.
All right. Oh, Charlie, always nice to have you here.
Charles Williamson, Oregon Trial Lawyers Association. The trial lawyers oppose this bill imposing additional costs on litigants. It is, I believe, the legislature raised the raised the fee for witnesses to $30 last session. So you're not talking about $10. I don't know how much this is going to cost people, but it theoretically could be substantial. Generally in our society, we've made the value judgment that you can get witnesses to come to a trial with a subpoena, and everybody's employer and everybody else suffers a little when they have to take time off to go to court, and we don't see why public employees and police officers should be special in this regard. It will be practically impossible to know if you're subpoenaing a police officer. You may think you're subpoenaing a police officer to come just and testify as a percipient witness as to what happened and who said what. In that case, they get $30. If they're supposed to give an opinion about how long the skid marks were, or how fast somebody was going, or where the point of impact was, they suddenly become an expert. That may even come up in cross-examination. So you really won't know how much you're supposed to pay ahead of time when you're subpoenaing someone. So the bill is a little bit unworkable in that regard.
Mr. Chair?
Representative Johnson?
I have an answer to that last concern, and that is that for civil cases, anyone who wants a police officer to appear as a witness for any purposes, whether expert or otherwise, pay the $160 or whatever it is.
Representative Edmondson? Well, you, Mr. Williamson, there's nothing new about paying expert witnesses expert witness fees, right? I mean, there's no expert presently called by either party that doesn't charge a fee. You can't subpoena somebody in and demand their expertise as an expert witness, my recollection of civil practice, without paying for that. Is that true or not?
It's been my impression that when a police officer comes into court...
I'm talking expert witnesses.
The expert witnesses generally get expert witness fees, or they testify for free, or they do whatever they do.
So if a police officer were testifying in an expert witness capacity, as an expert, certified as an expert, all that, offering opinion...
He's entitled to be paid.
He's entitled to be paid.
Right.
So how would this bill, because it does talk about expert testimony, and I think there's ample definitions in the law now of when a witness is testifying as an expert, as opposed to testifying just as an eyewitness. That as the bill's written now, it talks about when a police officer is called as an expert witness. We know what that means. Does this bill do anything other than perhaps limit the fee that the officer could charge as an expert?
Well, Representative Adams, if the bill doesn't do anything, then let's not pass it.
But
if
it says it's $160.
At least it's been my impression that if you subpoena police officers, the police officer is generally able to testify about things within his particular expertise, not only what he saw, what he heard the witnesses say, but if he's able to say how long the skid marks were, where was the point of impact, he's permitted to say that. And you're calling him for both purposes in almost all cases. And it may be that the plaintiff only calls the person to testify as to what the other party said. And then the defendant says, well, in your expert opinion, where was the point of impact? And then you get into questions from both sides about expert witness, about his expert opinion. And what is the proper amount to pay? It seems to me that the police officers should, I mean, I know everybody's concerned about money, but there's been a lot of increases in court fees all over recently, and why to add another, essentially a hidden tax on litigants, we don't feel is appropriate.
You could tax tires.
Static tires.
Representative Capone. Maddox.
Thank you, Cousin Greedo. We recognize quite a distinction here, though. I think it's important to note that we've limited this to what the police officer is called as an expert witness. And there may be a situation where the officer is called to simply report on his report, identify his report as a standard witness. The expert witness is someone who is called upon to use his training and expertise and apply them to the facts and present an expert opinion about those facts. Now, it seems to me that this bill does a very careful job of limiting that. And, for instance, if somebody has subpoenaed the officer not as an expert witness and the other side tries to ask an expert opinion, the person who subpoenaed the officer can say, objection, Your Honor, under this law, they're not permitted to do so unless they want to pay right now the expert witness fee for that officer. In other words, neither side gets to take advantage of the officer without paying the fee. On the other hand, Officer Jones could come in and testify that he went to the accident scene, he saw the car there, just like anyone else did, he saw skid marks leading up to the car, he took out his tape measure, measured the skid marks from the rear of the tires to the point where they appeared to begin. If he stopped right there, he's an ordinary witness. But if the attorney then asks Officer Jones, in your opinion, how fast was the car going based on the skid marks, you suddenly asked him an expert witness kind of opinion. And maybe there's been some misperception about the distinctions in this bill, but I find it very important to make those distinctions. You see, I wanted to give you a chance to comment on that because I hope my perception is not wrong here.
Mr. Williamson, go ahead.
I think if I want to have someone come and testify about their expert opinion solely, and there's a police officer that's an expert on point of impact and skid marks and speed, and I obviously have to pay him to come to court. I mean, I have to pay him under existing law. I think what this bill is doing is saying when you're subpoenaing a percipient witness when he comes in or she comes in, you cannot ask them anything about their expert opinion unless you cough up a bunch more money. Even though they're there anyway, there's the same amount of time is involved anyway. The actual additional amount of time that they're there as an expert is minuscule. They'd have taken the trip, been there, that suddenly you're going to get hit with the actual cost to the person's employer. And that is what I think. And I think that the employer is going to charge for the whole testimony, not just for the 10 minutes that were on expert.
But doesn't the bill allow for the fact that we're willing to suffer unto ourselves the notion of having police officers and anyone else available as standard witnesses, but the moment you want to convert them into a free expert witness, we're not going to allow that anymore. We're going to charge you a fee.
That's what it stands for.
I guess that's what we have to bite the bullet on. I'll give you one more chance to remark on one other thing, and that is, for example, just this morning, an acquaintance of mine called for police services because a car stereo was torn out of the car. And the response from the City of Salem Police was, we don't respond to those calls anymore because we lack resources. One of the reasons they lack resources is the officers are sent hither and yon doing a variety of things. And the social problem we're trying to address is the lack of resources for actual law enforcement, when instead the police officers in the courtroom acting as an expert witness right now for free or for a $30 witness fee in a case. Do you have a response to that kind of push-pull other than the money factor?
No, not at this time.
Thank you.
Mr. Snyder, any further questions?
I want to ask a question. Charlie, I think this is a fascinating bill, and I'm interested in that question. I have is, do you know, I'm trying to think of when I've ever seen a police officer called to testify as an expert. I guess accident reconstruction and some things like that where they really, truly are offering expert opinions. Do you know what sort of fees a police officer gets as an expert? It may be the sort of like, okay, now we've determined what you are, we're just going to settle on the price. And I don't think anyone subpoenas police officers
to come in. I mean, you read the police officer report, and he'll say in the report, or she will say in the report, they'll estimate speed.
Right,
and they have a little diagram that says where they estimate the point of impact is. And all that stuff, I mean, they're brought in to talk about what the witnesses said, what they observed, and to give their opinion about what happened. And so you're going to be taking, I don't know, if you subpoena a police officer to come in strictly to act as an expert, you ought to pay the fees. I agree with you. But what this bill will cover is every police officer that ever goes to court has something in there about what his expert opinion is about the accident he's testifying about. And this will make all police officers experts, and they all will pay. And if it's a way you want to get more money for the cities and counties from litigants, you essentially realize what you're doing. You're taxing litigants to help solve the problem of Representative Mannix, whose constituent had a stereo ripped off. And this bill will raise money for those police, and they will go. There'll be more police funded with this source.
Office of expert police witnesses.
Right.
I'm sure the City of Portland probably, as we speak, is remodeling the police building.
Mr. Chair?
Representative Clark.
It is remodeling the Portland building.
If I bring in a professor of neurology from New York in a medical malpractice case, and I'm going to put him on as an expert witness, I have to do all kinds of things in court to establish him as an expert witness. But explain to me the process by which I pay that witness his expert witness fees. May I negotiate that on the phone when I first call him up, I assume, right?
Yes.
And I say, what would you charge me for 2 days of testimony in a medical malpractice case in Portland, Oregon? All right. But that's the one extreme example where you get probably the biggest price tag on something like that. Give me a more common example where somebody is called in to testify as an expert witness.
Generally speaking, that's the way it is. And if somebody wanted to call a police officer as an expert to talk about, straight, not about their observations at the scene, but strictly about estimating the speed of the vehicle and the point of impact and so forth, I imagine they would work it out so the officer would come in their day off and they could keep the money that you're going to pay them. And it wouldn't have anything to do with the cities. What this bill is when the police officer is being subpoenaed anyway. He's going to be in court anyway as a percipient witness. And in those cases, you can ask the police officer his opinions as well.
The bill would pull a police officer in when he is in there as part of things he observed in the line of duty, obviously.
Right. And he's in that in giving his observations, he will also be asked, and as a matter of course, usually is asked, what is your opinion as to where the point of impact was? Which side of the yellow line was he on? And the other side will often stand up and say, "Object, Your Honor, that calls for an expert conclusion." And then you qualify the police officer. How many of these have you investigated? What kind of training have you had? And the judge will usually say, "I'll permit him to testify." And so then you've had him there. You've had him there for the same amount of time he would have been there anyway, most likely. But he's given an expert opinion, and he will give an expert opinion in almost every one of these times. He comes in to give evidence about an accident.
Okay, Mr. Chair, go on this for just a minute for my own edification here so I can try and understand this issue. Let's say for whatever reason that we had a adverse possession lawsuit going, and for whatever reason you decided you wanted to pull in the county surveyor as a witness, as an expert witness, and that was your case. What would you do? Would you call the county surveyor and say, wonder if you'd be willing to testify, and he says, what's the date of the trial, and I either can or I can't make it, and he probably doesn't say, I'm going to need $65 to come testify, does he?
I think if you were subpoenaing him to come,
you and I know how that works. You call him up and you say, I'd like you to testify for me, and it's a small town, and so he's willing to maybe do you a favor, and he says, it probably would help me out if you sent me a subpoena. That would sort of cover me, and so you send him a subpoena. Then there's no fee involved at that point, right?
Well, you can't force an expert to come in and give their expert opinion necessarily. If that's all you're calling them in for is, as a surveyor, what's your opinion about this? They unless they want to, you can subpoena them, but you can't force somebody to give you their opinion for free.
Let me narrow the example just a little bit. The question in the adverse possession case then is whether or not the original survey was done well, was done correctly, and you bring him in to testify on the science of the original survey. So he really is coming in as an expert at that point. You know. All I'm trying to get at is you got somebody who's a public official anyway. He's probably not going to charge you for that testimony, is he? She?
I think if they wanted to, they might be able to. If you were subpoenaing them to come in and talk about the county records, how are these things recorded? How do you guys keep these records? And what do people know about? You could subpoena them to come in and do that, and you probably just like with the police officers, you probably could get into, well, in your expert opinion, was this done in conformance with the standards that are used in your office? They probably would go ahead and answer those questions. But people do. I mean, in medical malpractice cases, you often get into people not. The defendant doctor doesn't have to be an expert against himself, and will stop and not give an expert testimony when asked on occasion.
Thank you, Representative Clark.
Mr. Chair, with respect to Representative Clark's question, I think a distinction should be made between, in the case of the surveyor, whether you're asking him to come to testify as to something that he's already witnessed or done. If you're asking him to go out and resurvey a parcel of land and then come in and testify as to the results of the resurvey, I suspect that he'd want a witness fee to do that, especially if it's beyond the scope of his employment as a surveyor.
Yeah, and the scenario I'm trying to draw is where it's sort of outside of his normal duties. Just for comparison purposes.
Mr. Chair, we would agree if a person is being subpoenaed or is coming to court solely to act as an expert, they should be paid and the bill should be passed as to that. But if they're coming as to both and it's the expert testimony is simply incidental, or a portion of their overall testimony, I don't see why it should, why they should be different.
Thank you, gentlemen. We appreciate you coming. Further witnesses on House Bill 2828. It's the intent of the chair to wait and see what is going to happen and hold this for a work session at a later time. But it seems that with the restrictions in the bill of, as expert witnesses being as they are defined, that would allow most of the testimony that the officers presently testified to in most civil actions to come in, as long as you stay this side of using them as an expert to reconstruct the accident, which means to me that they have very limited application. And if Representative Minnis, who wants to bring it back and try to expand it further, then we have an entirely different proposition. So we're going ahead and close the public hearing and open a public hearing on House Bill 3349. Mr. Bronner and Company. Chairman, Mr. Ellis.